Welcome to Cup of Cubby Blue. Your Craig Counsell is the 56th manager of the Chicago Cubs, and somehow in the last week, the Cubs became the second favorite landing spot for Shohei Ohtani, according to Vegas. Home for Cubs news, updates, and banter. We're proudly affiliated with the Fans First Sports Network. I'm Sarah Sanchez, and I definitely did not have Ohtani watch on my hot stove bingo card, but here we are, so I'm here for it. Y'all, as always, I am joined by the one and only Danny Rocket. We're going to break it all down. How's it going, Danny?
It's just great to be here. You know, things are looking up for the Cubbies, and I did see that about those Vegas odds. My friend John Pincus told me about it, and he said all of a sudden all these Cub fans started betting on the Cubs even to win the World Series, and not just the Ohtani thing, but our odds went way up to win the World Series, and I'm like, really? We just got a manager, guys. Like, we lost our top pitcher and our best player, but sure, I guess we're winning the World Series with a manager.
Listen, Cubs fans are full of hope now that Craig Counsell is the manager of the Chicago Cubs. Although the Ohtani thing, I think, has legs for two reasons. We'll get into Ohtani in a second, but the odds went from 2,000 to 1 for the Cubs to sign Shohei Ohtani to 350 to 1 in the span of like 48 hours. And that's wild, y'all. Like that's crazy town. There's some other Michigas around this too that we will get into. But before we do, I think we should, the lead story, Craig Counsell was introduced as the Cubs 56th manager today at historic Wrigley Field. And the big takeaway for me, he was surprised that people in Milwaukee thought this was such a big deal. And like, losing my mind. He's like, I didn't think it was that big of a deal. I also read a quote in a Tom Verducci piece on Sports Illustrated where Counsell's friends have said that the managing the Cubs was his dream job. Is Eric Wheelow okay? Because like, I'm worried about Wheelow.
Oh my God. You've got to check out the last Son Ranto show because we had him on. And
on it.
He, you know, he's so disappointed, but he says it's par for the course with the good enough gang, which is what he calls the Brewers. He goes, they can never go the distance. They can never, you know, close the deal because they offered Craig Counsell more money than any manager would have ever made up until that point. That's what is rumored, that they said they were going to give him $6 million.
Joe Torre made $7.5 million in the early 2000s.
This is just his Eric words. It might be all fake.
It would have been the largest contract as of now. Okay. So prior to Craig Counsell signing his deal with the Cubs, the highest paid manager in MLB was making $4.5 million a year. The only reason I know the Torre thing is because I almost got into like this weird economics bit when I did my like money talks piece about the Counsell signing, because technically $7.5 million in like 2004 or whenever Torre was making that money is way more than $8 million in 2023. But I was like, nobody wants to get into like an inflation argument in my little Bleed Cubby Blue piece. So I left that out.
Yeah, well, and also Yankee money counts differently somehow too.
Yeah, yeah, it's like Yankee money to Chicago money. There's like a weird equation.
Yeah, there's something going on there too. But either way, the Brewers did want him.
They offered
a sizable contract.
They tried.
And they tried to get him, and he did not want to be there because the Cubs are his dream job. And all that's got to be great to hear for us and terrible to hear for Eric Wheelow and the other Brewers fans out there. I mean, has anybody checked on Cato Kaelin?
I have not, but I should.
He might be pulling his own OJ right now. He's so mad.
I mean,
on Bud Selig, somehow he's to blame for everything.
I'll check on Cato in a second. I have been checking in on the Brewers fans over at Brew Crew Ball, which is the SB Nation Brewers site, Bizarro BCB, as I like to call it. They do not like Cubs fans there. Like, and to put this in perspective, I will occasionally go hang out with the Cardinals people over at Viva Alberto's. I never go hang out at Brew Crew Ball. Like, I Cubs fans just persona non grata at Brew Crew Ball. But I do lurk on occasion. And would you like to know the nicknames that they have for Craig Counsell over at Brew Crew Ball right now?
Oh, please.
Whitefish Bay Betrayer. Brewer's Benedict, which sounds like something that should be a brunch item.
Yeah, I'd eat that.
The Brewer's Benedict, I feel like we should have that in Chicago, maybe at Uncommon Ground.
Like a beer-based hollandaise, maybe, a Brewer's Benedict.
There was an upvote for Whitefish Baby Trayer, and that, up there with the Boston Strangler. This is how rational things are going in Milwaukee right now. Here we go. Here's the next list. The Wrigley Rat. Actually kind of clever. We do have some rats. But they're kind lucky rats. They're rally rats. The Wrigleyville Rascal. Carpet Bagging Craig.
I like that one. That's a good, that's deep.
Badger State Judas.
Mars Cheese Judas. I like that.
Oh, I like that. That's good. That's not on here. We should go suggest it. The Lake Michigan Treasonist. Yeah, I think I'm good. I think Brewer's Benedict is my favorite, and I really want to try a Brewer's Benedict.
Did you see I went viral for saying I was going to call the Cubs lineup Craigslist? Got retweeted all over the place, got tons of likes and everything. And it dawned on me, 10 years, Craig was the manager. Not, what, 9 years? A long time. He was the manager of the Brewers. And I never even heard that before. I'm like, you had 9 years when Craigslist was actually popular. Not that it's unpopular, but it's definitely out of its heyday at this point. Anyhow, it's they Brewers fans, not clever. No. Not a clever people.
Although Brewers Benedict was good. Brewers Benedict was good. I will say the other big takeaway that I had from this press conference today, Council has respect for Wrigley Field. The way he talked about the park, the way he talked about the experience of walking in, even when it's Winterland, and how special it is, like, you could tell that he knows it is going to be an amazing environment at Wrigley Field, and that he is going to be the dude that gets to soak it all in, soak in all the adulation when the Cubs win. And we're not Yankees fans. We're not Red Sox fans. We're not Philly fans. It takes a lot for us to turn on any of our guys or any of our managers. So Craig is going to get a very long leash here with Cubs fans. Speaking of Craig and ballparks and being there while the games are going on, Danny, did you realize that Craig Council makes his return to the Badger State on Memorial Day? We're going. That's the first Cubs game in Milwaukee next year. It's Memorial Day.
Yeah, he's gonna get an earful that day.
Oh, we are going. Cubs fans are gonna pack that park. It's gonna be great.
Yeah, do you think they're gonna pull one of those things where they do a Wisconsin only sale and try to make that happen?
Obviously. And they're gonna fail because somebody is gonna get their $7 ticket or their free Subway ticket or whatever, and they're gonna put that thing on SeatGeek or StubHub, and I'm gonna buy one, you're gonna buy one, Crawley's gonna buy like 12.
I've got an even more secret way of getting a cheap ticket to a Brewers Cubs game, but I cannot divulge it because then I'll be screwing myself, because I have a secret way to get incredible. Well, actually, they're terrible tickets. If you want to see the game from a good seat, don't use my method. But if you want a nearly free ticket, I know a way. If you ask me, I will tell you. But I'm not putting it on the podcast.
Okay. Well, we'll have to touch base on that offline. Okay. Two other things that were really great in this interview. So Pat Hughes has some old Milwaukee ties, and apparently Craig Council has played basketball against Pat Hughes, and Pat Hughes is like the most competitive dude ever, which I love this image of like Pat Hughes in his early days, like, you know, elbowing guys and like committing fouls and being just like that dude. The new Pat Hughes, man, it's in my head.
Do you think he played in a sweater with just like that? But it had like cut off sleeves or something, but it was still that sweater pattern. Yeah. Can you imagine him out there throwing bows, going hard in the paint? It's like, I wonder if Pat Hughes could dunk.
Oh, that'd be amazing. I mean, he's tall, right? He's kind of tall.
I mean, he's tall, but I don't know if he's dunking tall.
Okay. Another thing that we learned in this interview, lots of questions about the coaching staff, lots of questions about if he's talked to players yet, lots of questions about what he's going to do. And frankly, I respected this answer so much. Craig Counsell, when asked about early decisions, what he's going to do, who he's bringing with him or not, said, honestly, this all happened so fast. And I think it's really important that we go slow and not make mistakes on really important decisions. And so I have been just trying to slow things down and think all of that through. I love that. I respect that. Like, say, it is really hard when you're in a situation like that to say, actually, I don't know yet, but I'm doing all my due diligence and I'll get back to you. And he did. And I respected that a ton.
Yeah, it's something we're all wondering because we've had the College of Coaches going on for a while. We've had the revolving door of hitting coaches that's been happening. The pitching situation has been somewhat stable, but we just lost, what's his name? Who's the guy that Craig, his name was Craig too, right?
There's Craig Driver. And
we lost Driver and we lost, but
Chris
we lost,
Young.
Chris Young.
Oh, Craig Breslow. You're thinking of Craig Breslow. Yeah.
Yeah. He went to
the Red Sox. Lots of Craigs. It's the year of the Craig.
The year of the Craig. Oh my God. I don't think Danny's fit in too well in years of Craig. I think those are bad years of Danny. I'm going to stay inside. There's always some turnover, but you've got to think he's going to want to bring his guys with him. I mean, for Pat Murphy is the bench coach for the Brewers. He's rumored to be the next manager from that whole line that they kind of got going in Milwaukee. But we don't know if Craig wants to bring him with him, you know, or maybe that's a better job for Murphy. I don't know. Like, it's great that he's taking his time with it, but, you know, he's going to want to bring his own guys eventually. Like, especially if there's kind of, if there's a mismatch of philosophy, let's say.
Yeah, that resonates with me. I can't imagine that you would want to inherit somebody else's coaching staff, right? And there are a handful of guys in the Cubs dugout who I absolutely want to see back. Like, Willie Harris is a gem. Like, Willie can't go anywhere. Got to have Waving Willie at third base, right? Like, I would love Mike Napoli to come back. I think Nap's great. And frankly, I really liked what the Cubs did last year with their running strategy, and all accounts are that Napoli was in charge of that. And one of the question marks I have that I haven't done a dive into yet, but it's something I'm going to look at this week before doing one of my offseason articles, is how much the Brewers ran versus how much the Cubs ran. Like, one of the things that was really successful for the Cubs last year is that they took advantage of the new stolen base rules. And I think that worked out well for them. When the Cubs were successful running, they were a more successful team. And so I would hate that to change under a new manager, right?
Well, yeah, because you're kind of changing horses in midstream, no matter what you do, even if it is somewhat of a different philosophy. I mean, the thing about Craig Counsell that we've seen, though, is he's won with lots of different kinds of teams. So, like, sometimes the Brewers seem stacked full of sluggers. Sometimes they were more of a speed defense kind of situation. Sometimes a mix of pitching and one of the above things. But I trust that Craig knows what he's doing with what the Cubs bring to the table. I mean, especially if you add some big names coming out in from free agency right now, which I think that's what that Vegas odds situation is all about, because they expect, okay, they got Craig Counsell, now they're going to load up. I don't know if that's the case. I kind of feel like they're going to want to see if the young guys could perform. I feel like that's where Craig has been good too, is, you know, knowing how to use the young dudes. Because one thing that Eric Wheelow said on the Son Ranto show was that absolutely your Canario is going to be out there playing, and he's going to be playing at the right times. And you're not going to see dudes ride the pine for no reason when an offense is struggling. So I think you're going to see a bit of a different philosophy. He said, get ready for crazy getaway day lineups.
Interesting. Which,
yeah, which, I mean, I think every team has those. I mean, it's called a getaway day lineup because everybody knows what that means.
I am very here for the young guys getting some run. Like, it was so frustrating last year to watch Nelson Velasquez hit a grand slam and then sit on the bench for 8 days before the Cubs traded him for a middle reliever. And then he hits like 17 home runs at Kauffman Stadium, right? Like, the Alexander Canario thing was driving me bonkers last year. And there were multiple times where when David Ross was asked about it, he's like, oh yeah, well, we're just not in a position to play him right now. I'm like, what are you doing? Why not?
Well, and I don't know how much that's going to change, too. Maybe it's more of a rotation situation, but depending on what you do in center field, left and right are locked up, barring knock on wood.
Barring trades.
And
barring trades.
Well, both those guys have no trade clauses on top of it.
But a no trade clause is just like a list of teams that you don't want to go to.
Yeah, I mean.
There's possible trade partners out there. I mean, here. Let me just riddle me this.
Just locked up Hap. Suzuki seems part of the Ohtani idea. Well, I don't know.
Okay. I don't think Seiya is going anywhere. I agree with you that Seiya is part of the Ohtani dream, which we're going to talk about in a second. We do need to give David Ross his last day in the sun here before we do that. But if the Cubs are truly in on this Juan Soto situation, Soto's not a center fielder. He's a corner outfield guy. So you have to open up a corner outfield spot in order to play Juan Soto. And Ian Happ to the Padres, anybody?
Or to first base.
Christopher Morel to the Padres. I mean, I'm just saying, I don't know how you get Juan Soto without someone on the major league roster. And you have to have a corner outfield spot for him because he is not a center fielder.
Yeah. No, I don't know. These are all just rumors that keep coming out. And do you know who's the freaking worst? Can I just be for a little bit? Because
go for it, and then we'll talk about David Ross. Go ahead.
What the hell happened to Sports Illustrated? What a rag that thing is. Every day with a different dumb rumor that makes no sense. This clickbait garbage. And the problem with it is those blue checkmark bros on Twitter give it run. And you're like, stop with this, because it's all off season long. And, you know, just one agent says one thing and 50 articles come out and it makes me want to not look at anything, but I'm just saying, specifically Sports Illustrated, what the hell happened to you?
Oh, I know what happened to Sports Illustrated, but honestly, Danny, it's partially just they don't do a good job of vetting any of those rumors, and they're perfectly willing to run with sources around the team say. So I just hypothesized an Ian Happ to the Padres for Juan Soto thing. And I'm sure somebody out there is like, yeah, Sarah follows the team. Sarah's close to the sources near the Cubs.
There's Cubs looking to move Happ.
Right. Yeah. To be clear, people, I have no sourcing on this. This is literally me playing roster chess in my brain. It's just it's a thought, though. You can't be in on Soto if you don't have a corner outfield spot available. It doesn't make a ton of sense. What happened with Sports Illustrated, I don't know if you remember, they axed a bunch of their writers and then hired a bunch of basically people who have the same credential that I do, like blogging for SB Nation, and paid them a fraction of what it used to make to be a Sports Illustrated writer. And so most of the people who are doing team coverage, not everybody, there's a handful of people like Tom Verducci is still really good. Obviously Steph Apstein is great. There are a handful of national writers at Sports Illustrated who are still the old school, very good writers who are full-time journalists. And there are a lot of people who are not, frankly.
Yeah. Well, the clickbaity headline under the word Sports Illustrated is rough, because that used to be really one of the main publications that broke actual news. It was an expensive magazine to get and had great photography in it. I used to love the Sports Illustrated. You'd get the football phone when you subscribed. I never got the football phone, unfortunately. I was a secondhand Sports Illustrated getter, but back to the matter at hand. All these trade rumors and stuff like that, they're mostly trash. But I think something could happen. I just am a little disappointed that Ian Happ does have that no trade clause. I do believe that they want him to be a part of this team coming up because they gave him that no trade clause. In what world does a guy like Ian Happ even get one of those no trade clauses? We're going to lock you up and you're not going anywhere. You're part of the future, which that's fine. I'm cool with that, but it really kind of stinks to lock up left field. when that seems to be like another DH spot where you could just kind of stick a dude out there who's a bit of a butcher in the field just because his bat is huge. Ian Happ's bat is not huge. Now you could be like, oh, he's a gold glove left fielder, but we all know that that's kind of the participation trophy of the outfields. So I don't know. I don't know. It's a little frustrating to me. So I think they're going to stick with Happ. That's why I don't think Juan Soto's coming. So what are you going to do with center field is really the question. And then you got PCA waiting in the wings. Canario could play it, but then it's just kind of like pressing a weird reset button. And that makes me think that they're going to wait to see if the kids can play before they do really anything that big.
Well, let's get to those types of moves in a second. Before we do, let's talk about David Ross. A couple of things we learned about David Ross in this press conference. Number one, he did get to chat with Craig Counsell before the news broke. Apparently, he sent Counsell a text message congratulating him prior to the news breaking, and the two of them were able to talk beforehand. So I'm really happy about that because nobody deserves to find out that they lost their job on Twitter. And for all, I'm really torn on this, Danny, because I want Jed Hoyer to act like a big market front office dude. And with Counsell, he did that, right? Like he went in, he was like, we are the Cubs. You want to stay in the Midwest. We have money. You would like a team to throw their money around and actually like get the players that they need to get in order to give you a better shot to win the World Series. We can do that. And it all came together. That is what big market teams do. The Dodgers would not apologize for this. The Yankees would not apologize for this. Red Sox fans would laugh at you while you cried about it, while they celebrated their new manager. And also, David Ross is a good dude, and I don't want bad things for good dudes. And like, as much as I got aggravated by his bullpen usage and the fact that Jose Cuas's arm looked like it was about to fall off, and like Alexander Canario and Nelson Velasquez not playing, like, I don't want somebody to find out they lost their job on Twitter. That totally sucks. So I've been torn about this whole thing. So it was nice to find out that he did get a chance to talk to Counsell, that Jed Hoyer did like fly down there to let him know, like it wasn't one of these situations where he found out on Twitter. We also found out this week that the Yankees offered David Ross their bench coach job. Carlos Mendoza is going to go manage the Mets. They have an open bench spot position. Aaron Boone and David Ross are close from their time at ESPN. And David Ross turned that down. He does not want to be a bench coach. At least he does not want to be a bench coach this year. And frankly, I don't blame him. Like, he's probably better than like at least 15 managers who have jobs right now. And so if I was David Ross, I'd be perfectly content to just like wait a year and take a job, or like take one of the jobs that is still remaining. The Brewers have an opening. And also like truly wish him nothing but the best. Hope he is in the good graces of the Cubs within the next 5 years or so.
He goes to the Brewers, because then they'll be terrible. Because that man is actually, I don't think he's a very good manager. I think he was a mediocre manager for the Cubs. You know, the first was the year was the pandemic year, which was the let's ride again with that team. And they quote unquote won the division. But I do not count that 60 game season at all for anything. The next year, they were supposed to go out there and compete again, and they did not. And because they did not, they had to trade away all their Blue Friday guys. If it was a situation like this year where they were surging at the right time and didn't lose 12 games twice in a row like the 2021 Cubs did, Anthony Rizzo and all those guys aren't getting traded, because those guys would have been playing their way into good contracts and also into another playoff berth for the Cubs in the last time they could all do it together, with the one more time getting the band back together. David Ross was supposed to be part of that. They failed miserably. Then the next year, you got Frank Schwindel and whatnot, and there's always some excuse, and we had to watch that again. This year, he went out there and played all these grizzled veterans who stunk, and he did not run the guys and run the young guys out there. And because of that, an already deprived group of players who during the pandemic year missed a year of development. They missed another year of development sitting on the bench under David Ross, because these guys were ready to pop and Ross would rather, you know, run the old guys out there as their legs fell off their bodies. And to me, he was not a good manager. And so I don't know. If I was him, I would be happy that somebody offered me a freaking job. And I would be like, oh, New York Yankees bench coach? No doubt. Because if when people look back at what David Ross did for the Cubs, I would say he was a lower than average manager. But and I don't know if he's a nice guy. I never met him.
I don't know if he's a nice guy either. I think he's an above average manager. I don't think he's a top five manager. I don't think he's the type of guy who can win you three or four extra games just by making the right moves. And I certainly think that Craig Counsell is a better manager. That said, I'm sure some team out there could use a manager, and David Ross should not take a bench coach position.
Yeah, the Chicago Dogs.
Oh, that's mean. That's mean. No, I mean,
Chicago Dogs is a wonderful team. Very talented.
I don't know, man. I think that David Ross would be a better manager than Ollie Marmol in St. Louis, right? Like with all the shenanigans they had this year with Tyler O'Neill and Wilson Contreras, and like that was bananas, man. Although Wilson Contreras,
yeah, I was gonna say,
does not want David Ross to be his manager again.
I think me and Wilson are a little bit more in agreement than you and Wilson, which is a shock. I'm like, yeah, he stinks, and Wilson's like, yeah, he stinks.
I couldn't believe. I mean, actually, I could. That was a very Wilson thing to do on Insta, like about time.
Yeah. Well.
Meanwhile, his brothers over there like face palming, losing Craig Counsell.
Yeah, I mean,
never change Contreras brothers, hearts on sleeves, always. Speaking of Wilson Contreras, he was one of the big stories of last offseason. There are some real big stories on the hot stove this offseason. We're going to take a quick break for our sponsors. On the flip side, it's all Ohtani watch all the time. We're going to talk about where the Cubs have some holes in the roster, how they might fill them, and we're going to check out some news from the Arizona Fall League. But first, a quick break. All right. I truly thought there was zero chance, like 0.0000001 chance that Ohtani could be a Cub. And the thing about Vegas odds, I'm not a big gambler, but they are math. Like, they don't move like that unless the chances have changed considerably. There are a couple of tidbits that have come out on social in the last couple of days that I am intrigued by. One is a comment that Yu Darvish did a lot of speaking up his time in Chicago to Shohei Ohtani, and that Shohei Ohtani takes that very seriously. Everything I'm hearing on, I watch Hot Stove religiously in the off season. It's kind of like my morning ritual when I have a little bit of break in meetings. I'll just turn Hot Stove on in the background and do some work. They've been talking about how Shohei Ohtani cares more about his ability to win with his new team than he does location. And then just before we hopped on to record, Danny, I retweeted somebody else retweeting Koji Uehara, who former Red Sox pitcher, former Cubs pitcher. He was apparently involved in trying to recruit Seiya Suzuki to the Red Sox. And he just posted a picture of Chicago from earlier today. And all of this is just like, look, it's speculation. But there's some very interesting, it's not just Shohei Ohtani, there's some very interesting Japanese free agents on the market right now. And Jed Hoyer was just talking enthusiastically about some of those guys. I'm talking about Yamamoto. I'm talking about like a lot of pitching arms and a lot of guys who I am kind of intrigued by. And then there is the big prize, which is Shohei Ohtani. I would love the Cubs to have a handful of Japanese stars and like just like tap that marketing opportunity. That seems like a smart business move. Do it, Ricketts. Do it. Well, am I crazy?
Yes, but I think you're also making sense. And something that Chicagoans maybe don't know is that there is quite a large Japanese community in the suburbs, complete with a huge Japanese market that's renowned in that community. And it's because there are many Japanese corporations that are located out in the burbs, engineering firms, technology firms. And my mom actually taught at the library, one of a guy who worked there, his wife, and she had many Japanese students all from people that worked there. So it's not that there's no Japanese people, like, you know, that you go to, I don't know, Minnesota Twins or something. There's not probably a much smaller Japanese community. There is quite a sizable one in the Chicago area. So that's one thing. So I could see that working out pretty well, just as far as like having a few Japanese players that could find the food that they like to eat from home at the Japanese market in the suburbs. That's one thing. The other thing about the Ohtani situation is, and the odds going up especially, is because it is time for the Cubs to be the team that makes that big splash. They were doing that in 2015, in 2016. We were that team. And I forgot what it felt like, because since then, we have not been that team. Started with Dansby, I guess you could say. This time anyway, it's kind of starts with, or maybe you could, Suzuki, Stroman, Stroman's gone, but like you're building little decisions and you're seeing windows kind of solidify and open up and see how things are going. What I'm saying is right now is the time to, you know, shit or get off the pot, for lack of a better term, because this is that year where you need to be making those big splashes again. Long term, get Bellinger for 6 years, sign Ohtani, like throw a bunch of money at it, lock it up. Why not? Let that be your team. You'll make money hand over fist. You've got it all built for you. The neighborhood is transformed. It wasn't even fully transformed in 2016. It's fully transformed now. They can make so much more money than they did back then.
I don't know about the Bellinger thing. We can talk about Cody in a second, because there's something else going on there, I think. But with Ohtani in particular, I have given the Cubs a lot of grief over not having like a real top tier pay the dude type of contract, right? Like the biggest contracts in franchise history are still Jason Hayward and Dansby Swanson. And it's just, I mean, there are no $200 million deals in the history of the Chicago Cubs. Like there are no $200 million. Nothing that starts with a two, nothing that starts with a three, nothing that starts with a four. So like, it seems bonkers that the team would go from Dansby and Jay Hay all the way up to Ohtani money. And also, if they're ever going to do it, Ohtani is the dude you do it for, because the amount of extra marketing boost you get by becoming the team that Japan tunes into is huge. It's massive. It is. Shohei Ohtani is his own Michael Jordan for baseball, for a country that will not ever tune in at the same margins for anybody else. And if you have Shohei Ohtani and say a Suzuki, and you sign yourself a Yamamoto, dude, you have become the landing spot for Japanese baseball in the United States of America. And I just have this hunch that the Ricketts are like, not going to drop $300 or $400 million on most players, but they might drop that much to be the landing spot for Japanese baseball in the United States of America.
Oh, I mean, yeah, that's a lot of money. And not to mention the fact that, like, just let me give you some stats. I mean, the dude was worth 10 war last year, and he was hurt for part of the year.
And he pitches. Eventually. Oh, yeah. I mean, he's not pitching right now, but, you know.
Right, but I have every bit of faith that he will pitch again. I wonder if they would find him a position if he didn't. But, I mean, there's your lefty bat.
First baseman.
Yeah, why not?
You're telling me Shohei Ohtani can't be a first baseman?
I'm sure he could. I mean, he seems to be able to do everything. Like, he might be the greatest player that ever was, especially if he can come back and continue to pitch, because then he is, like, because Babe Ruth stopped pitching at a point. Ohtani doesn't necessarily have to. If he can come back as a pitcher, that'd be just incredible. But I mean, already he's worth 34.7 war in his career. 10 of it was last year. I mean, his career batting average, he slashes 274, 366, 366 OBP, 922 career OPS.
How many stolen bases does he have?
20 last year, 86 total. So he even has a little bit of speed, more than Anthony Rizzo or somebody like that. He's a pitcher.
He was on pace for 60 home runs last year before he got hurt. 60 home runs, 20 steals, Andy pitches.
Yeah. And so to get somebody like that, seriously, like better than Babe Ruth, like one of the most famous players that could ever be, you know, we're talking first ballot Hall of Famer, no doubt in my mind, anybody's mind. And if you could have that guy on your team, you do it. And I don't care what it costs. And you're going to make it all back, especially with that Japanese money. Oh, my God. Day games? What time is it in Japan for a day game?
I have no idea. That's an infield fly girl question. XIFG.
Yeah. Where's my...
What time is it in Japan at 1:20 on a Friday?
Yeah, I need to find out.
Danny's looking that up. I mean,
what time is it in Tokyo, Japan? It's 10:53 a.m. right now.
Okay, well, good luck. You have to do math now. Like, I'm not doing math.
We are right now 10 hours ahead. Right? Am I doing that correct?
I don't think that's right. What day is it in Japan right now?
Oh, yeah, I don't know. Probably, yeah. It's probably March.
See, this is why it's a much more complicated question. We really should just wait until Allison's available because she knows.
Well, it's morning there right now. So for a night game, 7 o'clock, it'd be 10 a.m. for them.
What?
Regardless of what day it is.
What are you talking about?
7 p.m. in Chicago, it's 10 a.m. for them.
Okay.
So it would be
that means actually, it's 4 p.m. at 1:20
is not good. Yeah, 1:20 is the middle of the night for them.
It's problematic.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's only home games. We play a lot. Half the games are on the road. They'll be fine. Do it.
I mean, I'm sure they'll figure it out. I'm sure a lot of people will just set a really early alarm. My point is there is a financial reason to invest in that type of money in Ohtani that does not exist with any other player, right? Like Bryce Harper doesn't bring all of Las Vegas with him in the same way that Shohei Ohtani brings all of Japan with him. And the Cubs have an opportunity here, given some of the talent that is available, particularly on the pitching side out of Japan this year, Imanaga, Yamamoto, that like, I don't know, man, I think they could, I could be talked into this if I were a billionaire. I'm not a billionaire or anywhere close, but I believe if I were a billionaire, I could be talked into this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, why not? Why not? Somebody's going to sign him. And it's going to be one of just a handful of teams. And the Cubs are one of those teams. So be that team. We have not been that team in a while. Those other teams have been that team. The one I worry about is the Yankees. But he might not want to deal with all that nonsense. Besides, the cost of living there.
Yankees are very good. He wants to win.
Yeah. The Yankees, they're just kind of a mess. And like, they're almost a victim of their own success and their own expectations in a way. And they play in a really tough division that doesn't seem to be letting up anytime soon. So good luck with that, New York. Start spreading the news. You stink.
Let's talk about Cody Bellinger for a second. I think the Bellinger deal, and we got a rumor today that the Cubs are looking elsewhere for their solutions beyond Cody Bellinger. And I don't know if that's, yeah, I just heard it. It was like a JP Morosi quote, I think, on MLB Network while I was kind of bouncing back and forth today. I imagine that has something to do with the MLB trade rumors came out with their contract estimates. And like, by the way, these are best guesses from people who are really smart, but they're not like, they're not done deals, right? And I think that Cody Bellinger's was something like 12 years, $254 million or something like that, which is just, there's no way that like Jed would be so out on that deal. Now, ESPN or SI or somebody else came out with an estimate that was like 7 years, $164 million, and that's a deal that the Cubs would absolutely be in on. So like the range here is pretty extreme. But if it's not Cody Bellinger, the Cubs need the following things in some capacity. And we can talk about Christopher Morel getting reps at first base in light of y'all wish you could see the look on Danny's face right now. Danny looks absolutely horrified.
I love Christopher Morel, but that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. Okay. Seriously, biggest fan, but oh my God.
You don't want to see what happens when Christopher Morel's at first base.
Yeah, I was like, is it April Fool's Day from, like, does Jed Hoyer not have a calendar? Like, what is he talking about? And by the way, he's been playing in the Dominican and he has not been playing first base. So they did not get the memo that the Cubs want that to happen. Because he played third and short, actually. He played shortstop.
I mean, I would love nothing more than for Christopher Morel to be the Cubs' everyday third baseman. I understand the limitations and what they're worried about there. It's two things. One is range. His range is not particularly great, and so he doesn't make every single play that you want a third baseman to make at this moment. I do think that that's something he could fix. Like, he's a very toolsy guy. Like, I have a hunch that you give him enough run at third base, he would figure that out. The other problem is, as far as I can tell, he has a Sean Dunstan arm. It's a 99th percentile arm strength, and the ball might go anywhere.
Yeah. which is fine. Need
a first baseman.
Yeah, exactly. But except for that's the other thing that we need is a good first baseman. Now you'd feel great with a Cody Bellinger over there, but can you imagine Morel throwing to Morel?
It's like that. Would Javi tag Javi thing from a long time ago, except bad. So very bad.
The bizarro Morel would know where the ball is going. he threw it.
One guy that the Cubs have been connected to, who I'm intrigued by, incidentally, is Rhys Hoskins, coming off ACL surgery. He lost all of last season. That's a 30-35 home run power bat at first base. It's exactly the type of player that the Cubs could use over there. You imagine that there might be a little bit of a discount given that he's just getting done with surgery. And it sounds like the Phillies are going to play Bryce Harper at first base next season. So Rhys Hoskins is probably not going back to Philadelphia. What do you think of Rhys Hoskins, Danny?
I mean, it's not that sexy. It would be good. I mean, I can see it. It's better than Eric Hosmer, better than Trey Mancini.
Okay, well, that's a low bar.
Well, I mean, well, that's where we're coming from. we have set a low bar that is slightly raising. Remember, we
not Cody before? Bellinger, but not Eric Hosmer.
Well, the thing about this situation is it gives you the flexibility because you probably don't have to do a long deal. It's not necessarily a prove it deal. Like maybe you do a couple years on it, but it's not something that you're going to lock up long-term. You do maybe 2 years with some kind of weird option or buyout or something. And I could see him going for that. He's a talented player. I mean, he's kind of on the other half of his career, wouldn't you say, at this point?
Yeah, what is he, 31? Let me double check.
Yeah, that's kind of old, but still, like...
Yeah, it's first base, though. And
every time we fill it with a guy like that, though, it makes me sad that it's not Rizzo.
He's 30.
Wonder what Rizzo's doing.
Rizzo was cheering for his wife at the New York City Marathon the other day. Did you see that? That was great.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, Rizzo's wife and Judge's wife both ran the marathon and they were like all cheers in the background. And it made me sad because I remembered how good of a guy Anthony Rizzo is.
Yeah, no, that was the mistake. They should have kept him. But yeah, I mean, Rizzo, it'd be fine. I wouldn't be excited. I don't think he moves Vegas odds.
No, he does not. I mean, here are the positions, as far as I can tell, that the Cubs need to fill somehow, some way. And am I correct? Mike Tauchman is back with the Cubs next year, right? Like he's on the roster and not a free agent. I'm pretty sure he's back, which makes center field probably the one that you can, between Mike Tauchman and PCA, center field is the one that is most covered in my opinion. And so then the question is, you need a first baseman, a third baseman, and a starting pitcher, at least one.
Oh, yeah. At least one.
Theoretically.
Because you needed an extra one last year and you lost Stroh.
Right.
So
you need at least one starting pitcher.
Yeah. Because, once again, the young guys came out too late. They didn't get a chance. Ben Brown was hurt towards the end of the year, so we never saw him. So we're a little bit, I feel like, behind schedule. I think last year should have been a little bit more of that let the kids play. Let's get them some opportunity, let's get them some experience. And to some extent that did happen with your Assads and stuff. Maybe he takes a step forward. He was pretty good in a lot of his starts, but you know, the peripherals aren't really there, so you expect, you know, he's a little bit more of an Alec Mills in your brain, you know, like he's gonna end up like that, throw a no-hitter and you never see him again.
I would love nothing more than Javier Assad to make the rotation, have the season of his life. And also, Javier Assad is much better as like the number six or seven guy that gets called up every now and again because somebody is hurt, right? Like, if both Jordan Wicks and Javier Assad are in the opening day rotation, something has gone terribly wrong, either in terms of injury or in terms of the Cubs just didn't get a deal done for a starting pitcher. Because they should absolutely be in on a guy like Jordan Montgomery. Jordan Montgomery looks exactly like the dude that Jed Hoyer, contact pitcher, lefty, middling velocity, great location. Come on down, Jordan Montgomery. Welcome to the Chicago Cubs.
Well, and then you got a pair of lefties. If Justin Steele can repeat what he did last year, you got a pair of lefties that could, you know, you can separate them a little bit in the rotation mixed, hopefully Tyone has a bounce back year, but yeah, you're going to need some performances from some young guys. You need somebody to take a step up like your Wesneski or Wicks, or, you know, we saw good things out of those guys a little bit, not Wesneski so much last year, but you know, I hopefully they're not giving up on these dudes. And you got, what's his name coming from the minors?
Cade Horton.
Cade Horton, yeah. But we don't we don't know what's going on with that. Ben Brown, maybe he gets a chance in spring training to not necessarily earn a spot, but to be part of that starting pitcher depth. And but yeah, you gotta go out and get Blake Snell. I don't know.
I don't want Blake Snell. Blake Snell walks too many guys and he's gonna cost way more than the other dudes. But I hear you. You gotta go get at least one starting pitcher. You probably need two. Ironically, you know who looked really good in the Arizona Fall League? And admittedly, like, pitching talent in the AFL is kind of weird because the best pitchers don't go there. DJ Hertz, who the Cubs gave up for Jamer Candelario. Yeah. And I was just sitting there like, oh, that's DJ Hertz, former minor league pitcher of the year, DJ Hertz. And I bet he breaks camp with the Nationals as one of their starting pitchers.
I was a little surprised that they parted ways with him, in fact, because, you know, granted, you can't play everybody and you've got quite a few pitching prospects come through. But for him to be the dude on the bubble, or maybe the one that the Nationals asked for.
I'm sure that's what it was.
Yeah. I mean, so you have to give up something to get it. But Jamer Candelario, by the way, I saw a little rumor that Cubs are thinking of a reunion with him, which I wouldn't hate either, but now we're going to do Jamer Candelario. We're going to do Rhys Hoskins, and kind of like, I guess that's legitimate, but it means that other things probably aren't going to happen. Maybe. I don't know.
I mean, I think that's probably right. I like the idea of Jamer Candelario coming back to the Cubs. The thing about Jamer is that he is not flashy or exciting at third base, but he's going to cost a fraction of what a Matt Chapman will. And there's a non-zero chance that Jamer Candelario has a better year than Matt Chapman again, right? Like, Matt Chapman had kind of a down year last year. He's a better defender, but Jamer Candelario is an above average bat. Like, he gets on base. He hits a lot of doubles. He can hit for a little bit of power. I liked his glove at third. Like, I liked his glove at first. Like, I liked Jamer on the Cubs, and it made me laugh a little bit. Because he seemed like such an extra dude in that 2016, 2017, 2018 period when he came up, when the Cubs were like, oh, well, I guess we're just going to trade you for a couple months of a backup catcher and Justin Wilson. Like, Jamer Candelario is a legit above average player who might have an all-star season in him at some point in time. He's like a Ron Coomer type.
He was blocked by KB, you know, that yeah, whole time. Totally. And so he just wasn't going to get, that was his main position being third base, and you just had to get rid of him. But yeah, he was obviously somebody that had a fair amount of talent, and, you know, he stayed up with the Tigers that whole time. And like you said, above average, but you know, we're looking at like everybody being slightly above average again, which is what they did last year, which is the 84, 85 win, get the last wild card, make it interesting at the end. And it's not the kind of team that goes out. And I mean, I suppose you could put Shohei Ohtani at DH in the middle of all that, but would they?
Man, this is wild. I'm looking at Jamer Candelario's Fangraphs page right now, and I haven't spent a ton of time on it, but So his career WRC plus is 102, but that's a little bit misleading because he's never actually had a year that was within five of pure average. Like he's usually like 112 or 93, 73, 140, 119, 78. It's a very like up and down type of profile, which that's kind of interesting. I'd have to do a deep dive on Jamer there, but the guy who might be blocked. Well, that's an even better argument for him though, because that's a terrible park to hit it. And like, that is one of the worst places in baseball to hit. And so I don't know, man, that's probably a reason that Candy could do better in Chicago, in a full season in Chicago. A player who might be blocked in the current Cubs system, who I just got to lay eyes on at the Arizona Fall League, is James Triantos, who was the offensive player of the Fall League, had an absolutely monster few weeks in down there in Arizona. And he was drawing some Dustin Pedroia comps from people. He also gave an interview to the CBS Fantasy Sports guys while we were at First Pitch Arizona, where he said his goal for next year is to steal 30 bases. And I am like, yes, please. Doesn't hit for a ton of power, doesn't have a ton of home runs in his bat, but does hit a lot of doubles. He's kind of like a Nico Mark Grace type of doubles guy. I really like James Triantos, and I don't know where he plays. He's not really a third baseman. He's another second baseman in the Cubs system. After the Fall League campaign he just put up, I wouldn't be surprised to see him get moved.
Yeah, I mean, this is what IFG's been saying, too, on the Sun Ranto show, that prospects are what you buy players with when you're going for it. And they can't all play. And that's if you look at all the outfield prospects that we have and two corner outfield spots already quote unquote locked up for the foreseeable future, you're like, well, there's not room for everybody on this roster. So you've got to move somebody. Like, think about how Jorge Soler, you know, what were you going to do with him? He deserved to play every day somewhere. And when you gave him a shot to do it, he hit 50 freaking home runs
in Kansas City.
Yeah.
But not a hitter's park.
It's the Nelson Velasquez went on the same road. So, it's just, you got to do something. And the Cubs have got to be active. No more of this kind of piddling around and seeing if they can catch the lightning in a bottle. You've got to, I think it's a really pivotal offseason. And I know they've been conservative, but the fact that they signed Council, that was not a conservative move, but it might be one of those things of just an opportunity that presented itself that was not expected that they took advantage of, but they are still going to stick with their kind of slow and steady wins the race, which I think would frustrate a lot of Cub fans.
I think they've got at least one big move in them this offseason. I think it's a move beyond the Jordan Montgomery signing that I just see coming at us like a freight train. I'm like, that is the most Jed Hoyer pitcher on the market. I would be stunned if he doesn't go out and figure out a way to get Jordan Montgomery.
I mean, not all the other teams are trying for it, but other teams are trying too. So, but why, it's hard for us as Cub fans to understand why every player would not want to be a Chicago Cub. They're just idiots if they don't want it. You know what I mean? Like, Chicago is the greatest place to play baseball. We all freaking know it. And you'd be a fool not to.
But, and it's a great time to be a Cub, as I learned from Craig Council today. Great time to be a Cub. Speaking of celebrating the Cubs, we get to do that in a handful of places over the holiday seasons. Danny, what do you have coming up for Cubs fans this holiday season?
Yeah, December 16th. I've been writing a few Cubsmas carols. I've gotten started on that because December 16th, there is a Facebook invite to it as well. So look it up. It's on the Sun Ranto page. But we're going to be Cubsmas caroling, which means we're just going to be running around Wrigleyville singing our songs. I will have a Cubs hymnal. We'll do a little practicing. It's kind of like a bar crawl as well, so you can drink. And that unfortunately makes it impossible for somebody under 21 years of age to attend. But we do go around Winterland, the Gallagher Way Winterland. So that part of it could be all ages. So just join us. I mean, it's just going to be a wild night, December 16th.
Yeah, sounds like a fun time. Are you going to write an Ohtani song along the lines of the Correa song that went viral a couple years ago.
Yeah, maybe like "Oh Come All Ye Faithful" would be a good one. Oh, I was thinking Anizardh or something like that.
I was thinking that. I was also thinking that you could riff off of "Oh Christmas Tree." Oh, Tawny Show, please come to Chicago.
Yeah, it's a little slow. That one's a slow song. So, and both are "Oh Come All Ye Faithful" slow too. So maybe we need to think of a one with a faster, more joyous, you know, like "Joy to the World" or something. But that doesn't work. I swear to God, I'll find a good Otani one.
All right. And,
but I have been writing some. I got some about Craig Counsell. I'm looking for it right now, and I can't. Oh, here it is.
I think we got to close with that. That's got to be the song we close with today, right?
Oh, yeah. Here's what I got. Craig Counsell, managing the game. Oh, how great it is to have a manager with a brain. Oh, Craig Counsell, Craig Counsell, managing the game. Wonder if he is still mad about the time it didn't rain. Jed got on the phone and called manager Craig. Said, "I got the dough to blow other teams away. Come and win a ring, 40 mil for five. From your house to Wrigley Fields under a two-hour drive." Oh, Craig Counsell, managing the game.
I like it.
How great it is to have a manager with the brain. Oh, Craig Counsell, managing the game. Wonder if he is still mad about the time it didn't rain.
That's all we got for you, folks. We will be here all offseason with all of your hot stove Cubs news, updates, and rumors. Until next time.